Two or three things I just want to help to strengthen your faith for letting God do for you tonight. How simple. You've got to put your own little signal up, and God will come to you. God will help you. But it's surprising how he can let you alone if you really don't believe, and you just kind of, you know, you don't get in desperate earnest. But if you'll send out your signal, it's impossible for him to overlook it. If you send it out, he'll get it. A true story came out in the paper not too long ago of a ship, kind of a freighter, that was sinking off of the tip of Florida. Now, they have a powerful coast guard down there. This is a true story. And way out, about 50 or 100 miles, I forget now just what the paper said, but the ship was in some bad, adverse weather, and the ship capsized, and they had to let out the lifeboats. They never dreamed of using the lifeboats. They just got negligent, and they never checked over the lifeboats too much. But quickly as they could, the boys got together and put over a lifeboat, and the men got inside of it. And when they got out there, the night was dark, pitch dark and all, and they realized in each one there was a little kit where they could send out a signal. And it said they got this kit, but the batteries had been there for a long, long while, and they forgot to renew them. And so when they turned it on, there was just the slightest little bit of a light that came on. It wasn't so very much. They had a hand crank, and as they cranked that, it would give forth a little signal, SOS, SOS, and they would be able, if the Coast Guard was watching or checking, they could tell longitude and the latitude, they could tell which direction it was and maybe how far away. But they said their hearts become so panicked when they saw that the battery was completely, almost completely gone, and what just a little flicker of light came on when they turned the thing on to turn it by hand, turn it a crank there by hand to send out the signal. And after they sent it, they tried it once and then twice, and about the third time, after the waves were dashing them high and they were out there floating in the dark, pitch dark, they tried the third time, and the last little tiny flicker went out. But it lasted to go through the third one. They discussed and said it'd be impossible for that battery, as weak as it was and as near dead as it was, to be able to send out or to be able to get any hope. Now, they were there fearful, panicky, realizing that any time those great waves would cover over. But the story goes that there was another side of the story, that in the lighthouse, this special, highly equipped tower that the Coast Guard has, they have all kind of powerful equipment. And they happen to have the electronic ear. They even have practiced through scientific means of the astronomy to even shoot out and try to catch radio waves from far distant planets and from stars to see if they can get any resounds from it. So the Coast Guard had adopted this highly technical instrument that could detect signals. And so this night, because of the storm out on the sea, they had turned the volume up and the big ears were fanning the ocean. And as they were fanning the ocean, one of the fellows said, "Wait just a minute right here," and he backed it up. "I hear a little signal." And he backed it up and they could hear SOS, SOS, S-O-S, S-O-S. And they said, that's it, that's it. Push the button. And they listened, and then when they tried again, the thing faded out. They got the longitude, latitude, knew exactly which way to go. They pushed the buttons. The helicopter started out. The other ships went faster. They went on to throw the flares and to trick the big searchlights and look out. And so in just a few moments' time, they were coming from every direction, heading in that direction. And they said the grandest sight they ever saw in all their life is when they looked up and they could see those lights fanning out on the waves. And they were there with their shirts waving as much as they could. And as they come nearer and nearer, they saw it. They threw out flares that hit the water that floated, and the bright lights came up around about them. It wasn't but a little while till a helicopter come, and he hovered over them and let down the ladder. One by one, the men went up and got in it. And they asked him how in the world they managed to hear that. He said, well, your end was very weak, but our end was very strong. Oh, I thought in connection with this service tonight, and something God reminded me that Brother Pettigo, our missionary in China, in Japan, told us when he was here before, setting with tears. He said, Brother Hibbert, there was a man that gave his heart to God, a Japanese. He was a Christian. He had heard the radio that come on this little island where there was no Christians on the island in the inland sea. And he got together and told a handful of these Japanese that if we would gather together and ask anything in his name, that he would do it. And so they gathered together in this little business place. It was just a little dock, just a few little business places, and just a very, very small island, and not even on the map. And so they got together, and they said, now, what we'll do, we'll come here on Sunday night, and we'll pray, and we'll ask the Lord to send one of his servants to us so they can preach to us. And they questioned me and said, well, now, he will do, oh, sure. He will do anything you ask him to do. Pettigo tells the story. He said they knelt and they prayed, and they said, now, Lord, you know our address, you know all about it, and we want you to send one of your servants here to speak for us tonight. We don't have anybody to preach for us, and we want you to send someone. Now, we're just waiting on you, Lord. And they were sitting there just kind of singing along and kind of waiting. And they said, now suppose they come and they don't know how to get in, we'll get a sign. So they got a sign and painted it just about so big. They put it on the door. We are here, come on in. They was on the inside, they had a little guitar or something and they were singing. And so on the other end of the line, now that was the weak battery just about to run down, just a little Christian that had just got a hold to God, that sent up a SOS, SOS. We want one of the Christian brethren to come and preach to us. And he had told his other Japanese friends that Jesus could do anything. They were there waiting, singing, waiting for the Lord to deliver it. Oh, what simple faith. They put us to shame. And so Pettigo said, on my end of the line, this is what happened. We were coming in, we'd been visiting one of the islands on Sunday afternoon. So coming on back into the main headquarters, there was a storm that came up almost immediately. And the winds began to blow and the waves began to dash high. And Brother Pettigo said to boys, he said, looks like it's going to be pretty serious. And they said, Brother Pettigo, I don't think it's wise for us to try to make it on into home, because this seems to be a very heavy wind that's coming up. Pettigo said, you're right. As we go by this little island around the corner, it's just a little small place. Let's just pull in there in the cove and wait until it's over. And they said, all right, we think that's very wise. So as they got up, they pulled in, threw out the anchor, and jumped on board, pulled it up, and and secured it. And they said, well, now, while the storm is on here for just a little while, let's just get out. They had their overcoats on. They carried them all the time, and their slickers and their hats, you know. And said, let's just go in. It was about 8 o'clock. Most of the lights were out, just a few little lights here and there. And said that we've never been on this island. Let's just see what we can, what's here. And they all said, well, that's good. Save just sitting here waiting until it all straightens out. So it said they got out of the boat and they went up to this little place and everything was quiet. You'd go by a place of business, maybe a little light would be flickering inside, but nobody there. They'd walk down just now and then, an individual would be coming back or forth. And they just walked along and said as they were walking along, they came to a certain place and they saw a little light out in front of a door. And as they passed by the door, they heard a sound, and the only song this fellow knew was one that he had been hearing Pettigo on his radio. And that's how he come to get saved. So they listened and they looked at the sign. It said, we're here, come on in. And they thought, well, you reckon they've got service going on here? They got a sign, we're here, come on in. And they're singing a Christian song. So one of the Japanese boys, he opened up the door and looked in, and they jumped up and run to meet him and said, you're here, you're here. And he thought, well, he's mistook me for some preacher that's supposed to come maybe, or someone else. We're not supposed to be here. We're out of our place. And they said, oh, you've come. And he came out and saw the other boys, and they said, oh, come on in, come on in. And Brother Pettigo knew they were Christians, the way they acted, and they came in, and it said, oh, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you for about 2 hours, and we're so glad you came. And they said, well, we didn't intend to come. It was a storm, and we just landed. Were you looking for someone? No, we were looking for you. Oh, well, he said, we hadn't made no announcement. We asked Jesus to send someone, and we believe. We heard you're Mr. Who? And he told him who he was. I'm Mr. Pettigo. And explained to him, and the Japanese boys were there. They talked his language. Brother Pettigo talked it. And so in a few minutes, he said, well, wait a minute. I got down and we prayed. We do like you say on the radio, that to ask anything in Jesus' name, it'll be done. And said, we just knelt and prayed. And we believed what you said. And we said, Lord, send him. And we've been waiting for 2 hours. And you come, and you come. Now you preach to us. Brother Pettigo said he got up there and those boys testified. He got up and preached, and each one of the boys began to preach, and the glory came down. There were several there that had never been born again. They didn't know about the story. They were gloriously born again. The true story is it was weak on their end of the line, but plenty powerful on God's end of the line. And the Lord reminded me of Sister Hibbard, this story, you know exactly whether it was in Japan or whether it was in India. Now, this is one of the missionaries told this, and God reminded me to tell you this story here. There was a little lady that there were three of the preachers that were ministering together through the country, and they would go from village to village. And when they'd bring a message about Jesus. And they had held a revival for a couple of three nights, and this woman came in and gave her heart to God the last night of the meeting. And the men were picking up and going on the next day. And so this woman came. She lived pretty close to the place that they were going, and she found out that these men were going to this place, and she said to him, said, now I've got a daughter that is terribly afflicted. She's been afflicted for years and years and years. She's bedfast. And they tell me that these men tell about Jesus that heals people. Oh, said, that's it. Everywhere they go, they pray for the sick, and Jesus heals them. And she said, well, I want to go and see these men. I want them to come and pray. I want Jesus to heal my daughter. Do you remember which?
That was in China.
Yeah, that was in China. That's where it was. And these men were there and said, this woman come knocking at the door pretty early that morning and found out where they were. And they came to the door and she said, I'm the woman that came and gave my heart to God the last night of your meeting. I hear that you're here. I want you to come and I want you to pray for my daughter. She's been sick, afflicted for many, many years, but Jesus will heal. I want the Lord to come and heal my daughter. And they said, come on in, sister, and said, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I've just given my heart to Jesus. I believe God can do anything. And said, now you pray for the sick and you tell Jesus and he goes where you tell him. Said, that's right. We pray and we tell Jesus and he does. Said, all right. And so they said, now we're going to pray, but you're a young Christian. And the thing you must do is to learn to use your faith, what you have. And what we want to do, we'll be right here with you, but we want you to lead out in your own words, and we want you to tell Jesus about the daughter and how to heal, and to show you that when you're saved, anybody can pray. And she said, all right. And so she stood there, and they said, now you just lead out and talk to Jesus. Said, he hears me? Said, yes. Said, he hears you. He can hear anything. And said, they bowed their head, and she began to pray, and she said, this missionary that knew all about it, contacted and told us exactly how it happened. It said that the woman, she said, now, Lord Jesus, these precious men tell us of your great power. You've already come into my heart and forgive my sin, and I'm not the same woman. I know that I'm a different woman. I know that this message is real, that you have come into my heart. Now they tell me that you go places and that you heal people. And my daughter has been sick for so many years. And she's suffering there at the house. Said, I left her just a few minutes ago. And said, Lord, she is in a very serious condition. And I want you to go right now and I want you to heal her. Now I'm going to tell you how you must go. You know, this certain street, told what street it was, she said, as you go down this street, you'll come to the old water tower. Said, you turn right there, and you go about a half a block, and said, there's a house on the right-hand side. The gate is open, and she said, I've got just a little house there, and said, the number is so-and-so, and you just go there. Now, when you get there, if you get there before I get there, because I'm going to leave and go back, if you get there before I do, you can go on in, because the door's open, and I'll be coming right on, and you go in and you heal her. And when she got through, she smiled, and she said, well, said, now that's it, and I will go, and the Lord has done the work. And said, he may get there before even I get there. And they thought, well, now this is such simple faith. Forgot to do much praying, said they were more or less listening to the simplicity of her faith. Had a weak battery, but brother, I'll tell you, she is putting it up there. And so they said to him, said, I'll tell you what, said, I'm going to follow her and see what happens. And the other said, you wouldn't dare go by yourself. Said, I couldn't stand to let you go by yourself. Said, I'm going too. And all three men said, we're going. And they said, lady, we're going to go with you and see what happens. And so she went along. She just thanking, oh, it's wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? He just comes in and he does so much. He's done so much for me. And to think he's healed my daughter. And maybe he'll be there even before we get there. And so she went on. She opened up the door. The door was open there. And as they walked in, just a few blocks away, as they walked in, said the girl was in there just praising God and just rejoicing. And when she walked in, the girl had got up out of bed, which she couldn't do because of her condition, bedridden. She had got up out of bed and she was walking across the floor just a praising God. And when her mother came in before the three men, here's what she said. She said, Mama, I don't know you told me about that Jesus, but she said, I saw Jesus. He came to me, and he came just a little while ago to the foot of my bed, and he just stretched forth his hand, and he said to me, daughter, you're healed. And said, Mama, the power of God came all over my body and said, I'm healed. And the daughter got up and began to walk back and forth and praise God. That mother began to praise God, and those men had been introduced to a new area of God's ability and God's faith. We miss out by leaving the simplicity. The great Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest men of faith of our generation, he walked with God. It is a common thing to see miracles happen, many blind, deaf, crippled, insanity, everything, night after night. He walked with God with such simplicity and such faith. He was in a little town. He had spent the night. He was planning on getting up the next day and traveling on down the country. But there was a little colored woman that had a daughter with high fever. Doctors couldn't help her. She didn't have money to send her to the hospital. She had been just wasting away looking at her baby day after day. And that elderly mama, that black mama, knelt, and she prayed that night, and she said, Jesus, I don't know too much about this healing. I've heard about it. But, oh God, I've never had any experience. But would you some way send somebody to Annie's house and let them pray for my daughter? She lived in a little rundown shotgun house. You know what a shotgun house is? Three little rooms. You can open the back door and look through the front. And it was on the railroad track with weeds growed up around, and just a few of the very poorest of the people lived in those kind of houses. And so she went to sleep and she had a dream. And she dreamed in her dream that she woke up the next morning, and while she was ministering to her child that had been sick and with high fever and wasting away, she heard a rap at the door. And in the dream, she went to the front door, and there was a man standing. Told his age, the color of his hair, what he looked like. And the Lord had spoke to her that he was going to send somebody to her. And in her dream, here he come. He walked in to the room and laid his hands on her daughter. And when he did, the daughter raised her hands and the power of God came on her. She was instantly healed with the power of God. The fever broke, and there was a miracle performed right there. So here's what happened. The next morning, Wigglesworth got up, and a kind of a custom, he'd take a little walk before breakfast. So he decided to walk down the road just for a few blocks. And as he walked down the road, he came to the railroad track, and instead of going over it, he thought, well, I believe I'll turn around and go back to the house this way. And the Lord said, no, Smith, go down the railroad track. And he said that he walked very close to God, and he knew God's voice. And the Lord said, go down the railroad track. So he just got on the, instead of going down the railroad track, it was a ditch here, the railroad track, and a little path, a little fence, and a few little houses along, but there was a path where they'd walk back and forth. So Wigglesworth just went down by the railroad track, and he walked about the third house, just walking, because God said, go down by the railroad track. And when he got to a certain house, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Smith, Mr. Wigglesworth, turn in this house and knock on the door. And he had God to deal with him many, many times in very unusual ways. So he knew God's voice, so he just turned and opened up the old gate, walked on the inside of this little old hut, and he knocked on the door. And when he knocked on the door, there was a black mother that came to the door. And the minute she saw him, she let out a scream and lifted her hands. And she said, you're that man that God done showed me in my dream. Said, you've come to pray for my daughter. And Wigglesworth knew that God had gone before him, and he said, "Well, Mother, I'm a Christian and I'm a preacher." Little did she realize that God sent him a pretty good man, one of the greatest men of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, the living faith. Anywhere in the world, he was known as a man of miracles, a man of faith, a man of power. If they had died, he prayed for them. He didn't just pray and leave. He'd just go there and keep walking back and forth, maybe sit down in the chair. Said, "Now, Lord, I want you to bring them out of that. They're dead, but you said they'll raise the dead." And he'd stay there till, praise God, God would just raise them up. That happened many times. He was a man of faith. And so he walked in. And she said, "Come on in, my daughter's right in here." And he said, "I walked right on in that. When I got in, I felt the power of God moving upon me, just like he had in those big old auditorium services." And he felt the power of God, and he laid his hand on that child. And when he did, the fever broke, and the child opened its eyes, strength came, and Jesus healed, just like he healed back when he walked the seas of Galilee. And Smith Wigglesworth turned around and went back and rejoiced. Now there's that little woman in that town. God had him to stop that night and spend the night with this person that had contacted him way before, wanted him to stop over when he went through. God, foreknowing everything, knew right where she lived and had everything to dovetail. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, when she put forth that signal, there was someone on the other side that heard that signal and let everything work out just right. I believe over a month ago, God knew this service is coming up. And it's been unusual, it's been different. And God is present tonight to minister personally to individuals here that have your problems and you want God to help you. How many believe he's here right now hovering over this congregation? I want us to stand to our feet together. Would you do it? As we stand, get ready to play something here, if you don't mind. As we stand together, I want all of us to just look to the Lord. Right now, God is mindful. We're going to get ready. Now, the devil may tell you, "Well, you've got a need, but there'll be other times." Let me tell you, you use what faith you've got. He said, "A smoking flax I'll not quench." If it's still smoking, if it's gone out, it used to burn, but he said, "I'll blow it into a flame. And if it's a bruised reed, I'll not break it. I'll cause the sap to come up in it, and I'll have mercy." Jesus said that with his own lip. God's mindful of somebody here tonight. While we look to him, I'm going to ask him to speak to your heart and speak faith to receive what he wants to give you. Maybe you have never reached that one place to say, "God, no matter what on earth ever takes place, no matter what kind of trial or test I may ever be put to, I'm settling it eternally in my heart. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to yield to God, and I've made up my mind to go to heaven." When you do that, you'd be surprised at the uncertainties, the doubts, the fears that will fade away. You've already answered every question. When there's a thing questionable and there's a shadow of a doubt that it would keep you out of heaven, you've already made the decision. You're going to heaven. There's not a thing you've got. There's not a bank account, bonds, gold, earrings, diamond rings, cars, homes, wealth. There's not one little tiny thing we'll ever take out with us. We'll not take only one thing. Your spirit and your soul that God has given to you is going to leave and go to meet God. It's not going to carry one thing with it. You're going to leave everything that you've had in this life. Then how many believe we ought to put high priority on our soul. That soul has got to meet standards. It's got to come up to qualification, or it'll never get into heaven. If God wanted a crowd, He could pack heaven out. We've got untold billions that have crossed the line. They're in the land where there will never be a second's opportunity. Never be a ray of light. No star beams of hope from on high. They're in total darkness. They've entered into a gate, and it is shut, and no power can break it. Hitler's there. The great kings, the great captains that went down in war have landed there. Untold billions of demon-possessed people, wicked, have entered in. None have ever got out. If the door could be open and God could say, I'll give you 5 minutes to come out and make a decision, there would never be one left in hell. We are living in the land of opportunity. We are living where we can say yes. We're living where we can let God minister to us. But God cannot reach that place. There is no way God can penetrate and help the ones that have slipped beyond. And He said to the rich man, you just got through saying, sold, thou hast much goods in store. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night your soul is required of thee. Now who shall these things be? So is everyone that layeth up for himself and is not rich toward God. How many believe laying up for God and for the soul is important? And right now, God is wanting to speak to individuals. I want you to raise your hand, close your eyes. I'm going to pray for God to speak right now. Father, this service has been a little different. It's been unusual. And I pray that you'll confirm the word. Just the same as those Japanese people prayed on that island for you to send somebody there, you answered the prayer. As the little lady said, go, Jesus, to my address and heal my daughter. She believed. So am I believing tonight that you will minister to individuals here tonight that feels their need of God. I pray to speak to hearts while they play softly. Jesus said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's the one on your end of the line. I want you to move, and I don't want one person to move because somebody else moves and you're moving because they're moving. I want you to move because you feel in your heart that God has given you the assurance that He's here and you have a need and God is mindful. Could you believe and say tonight, I don't believe God's mindful. You know He's mindful, and your act will bring God to your rescue. Your battery may be a little weak, but thank God there's a big powerful ear that's hearing. I want you to start stepping out, and I want you to come as close as you can to the front, and we're gonna pray. I want you to move out. God's speaking to people here tonight. I want you to come. There's an ear. Your battery may not be so strong, but brother, you can send out a little signal, and there's a God that has plenty of power. It can be heard on the other side. I want you to come. Would you step out? God's talking. There are people that have needs tonight. You're not coming to Brother Hibbert, you're coming to Jesus. Oh, yes. Settle it in your heart and say, Lord, you're going to meet my need. My need is going to be met. Tell him, Lord, my need is going to be met. Because I'm believing God. I'm believing God. Oh, hallelujah. Think of it. God's Holy Spirit is moving. His Spirit is moving right now. Raise your hands. I want you to lift your voice. I want you to make your sound. I want you to let him hear your voice. And brother, sister, there's a place called heaven. And God has got you in tune. Let your SOS go out. He's coming your way. Come on. Open your heart. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, right now. Oh, God. Yes, Jesus. Oh, God. Move tonight. Move tonight. Minister. Minister to each heart. Those that need the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come in its fullness. Oh God, tonight, in Jesus' name, let the Holy Spirit come in its fullness. The spirit of oppression, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We pray to rebuke doubt, fear, and oppression. Let the glory, the peace of God flood the heart. Open your heart to Jesus. Let him know you know he's real. Oh, yes, right now. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
This is my story.
Yes.
This is my song.
Again, I want every person that's standing, it's 8 minutes, about 7 minutes to 8 o'clock. The world will begin to function in about an hour from now, 10, 11 o'clock, they'll be going strong. We could go back in that prayer room and spend 15 or 20 minutes. If you want to stay longer, you can do it. But I want us to go back there tonight with one purpose in our heart. Lord, I want you to use my life more than you have before. If we get souls in here that are out there lost and going to hell, we've got to go to them. They're not coming to us. How many believe that? And I want every Christian to do that. Now, if you're where you can't go back, you can sit in your seat, make it a prayer place. And while they turn the lights down and the music is playing, I want us all to go through these arches, those two arches. Come up on the platform, go in. Over on this side, let's go in the most beautiful prayer room in Dallas. And I want you to kneel. And I want us to open our heart and ask God to anoint you. To believe that God will use us to draw souls to him. Would you do it? Go in the prayer room just for a few minutes. Oh, hallelujah, yes.